Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 278 for October 19th, 2020. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com, and today I have arranged for Anka Metcalf and Jim, the option professor, to be here. And you should be seeing Anka's screen right now, and the option professor will be moderating, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, thanks a lot, David, and welcome everybody here. Today's October 19th, and anybody who is a historian on the stock market knows that sometimes this has not been the best day for stocks, particularly in 1987, right? But that's a long time ago. Right now, we're going to talk about the S&P 500, and Anka Metcalf is here. She's going to give us all her insights today, which is very exciting. And before we get started, Anka, a little background on yourself and what's going on at Trade Out Loud.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much, David, for putting this show on today. And Jim Moderator, my favorite trader that has a really awesome pick of stocks and commodities, as always. So my name is Anka Metcalf. I'm the CEO and founder of TradeOutLoud.com, which is a trading education company, which is specialized in educating individuals how to day trade and swing trade the futures and the equities market. I have been doing this on the retail side for the last 17 years. And prior to becoming a professional independent trader, I come with 10 plus years in investment banking. I specialize in high velocity zones. And I'm the designer of an institutional proprietary trading system. And the reason why it's proprietary and the reason why I'm the designer, because guess what, guys? As much as I would love to take credit for technical analysis, I did not invent it. But I do focus on price support resistance in a little bit different manner than a lot of the traders, retail traders out there, in the sense that I'm looking for confluence areas. I'm looking for multiple layers of support that are overlapping into the same location or resistance. I also have designed specific trigger times for the New York trading session, especially when trading, day trading, or even swing trading. They're very, very helpful. And there are four big specific trigger times that they're happening in the market, especially when you're day trading. I also have specific price zones. These are institutional layers where institutions leg into trades. And of course, I'm a very keen observer of chart synchronicity and divergency. And today, what a perfect example, because when we came into the trading session today, we had NASDAQ that was leading, and it was like, what, almost 200 points to the upside. And we also had some relative strength into Russell, but we were moderately bullish somewhat into resistance into the S&P and into the Dow. So things changed very quickly from that point on. And this just to give you an example of divergency, where NASDAQ became weaker at that point, it pretty much started to take all the indices down with it. So this is just a quick example of chart synchronicity and divergency that I'm watching before I get into any kind of trade, day trade or swing trade. And that's pretty much it for me.
Okay. All right. Let's start out with some of our base questions that you always send out there. And that is, where do we think the S&P might be between today open, which is 3493, and Friday's close? We're now at 3467, I have. But what are you thinking from 3493? Yeah, are we going to be up or down?
I think it's going to be a little trickier today overall this week to do these kind of forecasts, although I love doing the forecasts.
Yeah.
I think that we have a lot of narrative that we have to pay attention to. But, you know, if that aside, so narrative aside, based on, you know, what we have going on the charts right now, I would say that I would expect a pullback into the market going into Friday. Mm-hmm. But so not very bearish at this point, but I would say probably I would be like 60% towards the downside.
Yeah. And your chart there is, on the point and figure there, you've got the red bar right now. So if that was followed by another one, that would give you, you know, a pretty good indication of it rolling back over. I was thinking 3420, 3430 is a very important support zone. You have 3440 up there.
This is the first line in the sand, because it's, from the pivot low. And here, I just made an notation, prepare for pullback sales.
Yeah.
Because I think that once the price is going to get through this 40, it's going to test your area of 20, which is exactly into these highs that we have been trading right. for a very long time. In fact, for the whole duration of September and beginning of October. So yeah, the cutoff line would be the 34.20. I think that if we see a peekaboo low here, a little bit lower, and on any pullback, this will become a sell to the 3400 spot.
Yeah, a couple of things also is the NASDAQ had record short interest higher than the last 10 years, but last week had the most buying in 13 years covering those shorts. That was early in the Monday and Tuesday it covered the shorts, on comp. So you can see they got them to cover their shorts up there towards 12,000, and that is possibly going to be a problem because obviously that buying is now off the table.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's what I'm seeing. Well, you know, I also look at these four moving averages all the time. This is the 10 exponential. This is pretty much where I'm getting all my bearish bias. But because we're talking about the daily charts, again, I still think that, we're still into that bullish zone. Should that stimulus come out, I think it wouldn't be a problem for NASDAQ to rotate back up. What I think is the problem for this week are these dojis that we have into the comp, into the SPX. And I think that if we start trading below these dojis, it's going to be downwards from there. I'm not saying that it's going to be like a really dramatic drop, but we're probably going to see some pullbacks and then possibly another recalibration off the 10 EMA. Yeah. And I do like the fact that the SPX has been trading off the 10 EMA. We had a slight pullback to the 20 SMA area that has not been visited since back here in May. Mm-hmm. So we have been literally power trending off of this 10 EMA. We had a decision point here last week of August, and then we had pretty much sideways, very shallow pullback to the 20 SMA, and then this rotation that took the price higher. So I think this here is pretty much into the same lineup as this candle that we had into October 31st. So again, we trade below this spot and the low is 11,559. We're going to start coming in. I'm not, like I said, incredibly aggressively short because we do have these scales that are still going to create support for price action plus this this 10 EMA. And we may regain the momentum once the price is getting here, but we'll see.
Now the divergence on the Williams percent would also be a cautionary flag, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. So we had some signs of topping into this area. We didn't really have an oversold zone when the William percent R dipped a little bit. I would say that we really need to see it for a really big buy zone, let's say on this pullback. So if this pullback is going to happen, if we're going to get the William percent R into this minus 80 zone or even below the minus 80 zone, that would suggest another buy opportunity. That's probably going to light up with another pullback into the 20 SMA. But right now it's telling us that the trend is still in place and that we can still, as the parameters are being respected, we should still moderately be in into the longs.
And the 50-day moving average is about 11,250. Where would that be on the chart?
Is that near the
red line there?
Yeah, this is the 200 simple moving average. Yeah. This is the 50 SMA around 9,600. And we have a prior pivot higher as well here in the comp into the 9,840. And if you want to, take a quick look at the SPX. Whoops, SPX. Here we go. All right. So if you look at the SPX here, we're the William percent R is into the same area. So it's moderately bullish at this point. It's not giving us any kind of signs of selling or any kind of, like we had here when we were reaching these highs. I mean, we were definitely into way oversold spot. So when I'm looking at the William percent R, I definitely need to see the pattern line up along with the William percent R indicator, because we can stay in the oversold zone or in the overbought zone for relatively long periods of time. So we need pattern confirmation to support that. But definitely, so what I'm seeing right now is we're definitely inside the week. The daily was a little bit, The daily was a little bit weaker. Here we go. The daily today was a little bit weaker, but nothing really significant and nothing really that would tell us, okay, there's a major selling that is going to happen. So as long as, you know, we look at the major leaders in the market, if we look at, you know, components, and if they're still holding, I don't think that we should fear, you know, a drastic pullback in the market right now. So we're not really there yet, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's no evidence of that yet.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Although, you know, a couple of things turn a certain way, you know, things can change. But the VIX, yes, not being able to get under 20, really not even be able to get under 25 and stay there very long. Plus, you got the short covering on the NASDAQ. And you've got companies like Fastly, who gives you an idea that if people get disappointed, things can change quickly.
Absolutely. I was watching the VIX this morning because I'm a day trader. Yeah. So I was looking at the massive strength that we had at NASDAQ. So I'm just going to put NASDAQ right after we talk about the VIX, because NASDAQ had relative strength today. So we had a really nice, you know, pivot formation into massive confluence level here at $27. And this is in the VIX. And the VIX were trading higher at the same time. And I'm going to put here NASDAQ futures very briefly, so we could take a quick look at. So NASDAQ was actually accelerating higher on smaller timeframes. Let me just put this. Take a look at the momentum that we had in the first 15 minutes. So higher along with the VIX higher. So I was monitoring this. I was monitoring the VIX and the VXX, and they were all, they were all moving higher. And it was like, it was the sign that, hey, there's some trouble in the patterns right here. So something is up. But talking about the VIX, I think that this is a very tiny doji that we have here. So we haven't had any kind of, you know, activity in the VIX in quite some while. We had a breakdown of that level of $24 and $23.50. These were two very important levels that I was watching. And then we made new lows last week. Last week, the low was 21.58. And to me, this looks like a little squeeze right here. I'm not sure if this is going to be like a huge trade, but it's definitely worth a shot for me. So anything that trades over 23.10, I'm going to look at it a little squeeze going back into the 24 and 24.50. It's not going to be a big deal, but at least it's something. Something
absolutely
to take advantage of.
With regards to any particular stocks that are coming up with earnings, you know, like I was mentioning, Fastly went from 135 to 85, 40% drop. Is there any, bid up stocks that earnings are coming out? I know Tesla's coming out. Is there a situation where there's any others out there that you've seen that might have a little bit of a selling situation if they miss
not
numbers?
Necessarily. Or? Yeah, not necessarily a selling. So I'm, I'm taking it like one day at a time, and I'm noticing here that the first bigger stock that will be reporting is IBM, that is reporting after the close today. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing that the price is really trying to hang on. So it has a very nice daily pattern here of a pullback buy scenario, and it's holding. The stock is trading above the 200 SMA. So this was my first sign of a little bit of relative strength into the Dow today, because we were just pushing higher in IBM, and it still has higher momentum. Even when you look at, you know, smaller time frames as in the 1 hour, you can see here there's this really nice doji. It goes doji. If it goes above this doji high, 26.37 to 26.40, it's going to go back up. It's probably going to run higher right before it reports earnings. I'm not really sure it's going to do that because the momentum is really sluggish. But anyway, so this is the first thing that I'm watching. I do have a lot of other stocks that are on my radar this week, and especially starting with tomorrow, like Procter & Gamble. Mm-hmm. I would love to see in PG a pullback, because I have totally totally missed this beautiful move from this consolidation here that happened at the end of June, beginning of July. And then this was the massive, really massive breakout over 128. So I definitely did not take any part in this. And I would love to see at least a little bit of a pullback. To me, this was not enough of a pullback here. And it was definitely running very close into earnings. And I didn't have a play because to me, it was very extended. But I would pay attention to Procter & Gamble. I think this is the kind of stock that if you want, a stock for investment purposes, I think that every pullback would be a little bit of like an opportunity. And Philip Morris is also has been in the news lately. That's PM, ticker yep. symbol. And of course, you know, it had a little bit of a pullback, but look at the weekly, still respecting the weekly high and the low. It's still very bullish here. It reports earnings tomorrow before the market opens. And I still think it's still very bullish. And it's just screaming for a breakout here. Now, it depends on how the numbers are going to come out, but definitely that is going to be on our radar. And also tomorrow, I have Netflix and FLX here. Okay. And F, what am I doing? Okay. So Netflix here, really strong. Take a look on not only on the weekly, that is really strong. The daily is incredibly strong. Look at the tail. It's the 10 EMA again to the rescue. This is a massive, this could be like a massive breakout pattern over this 560 to 570. And look at the price action from today, 200 SMA rotation. Mm-hmm. So I'm not seeing anything that is really weak on my radar to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I see a lot of stocks that are weaker and perhaps, you know, we're going to start navigating lower, but I don't see that yet. And of course, the other stock is Snap, which also reports tomorrow after the market closes, and it's still strong. So these are some examples. So everything that I have been watching and everything that was on my watch list still continuing to be very strong. And again, let's not forget about Tesla. All right, Tesla will report earnings Wednesday after the close, and Tesla has been holding a massive daily range, and it's still incredibly bullish right here. Any good news from Tesla, any good numbers that are going to come out, this is going to break 500, I think, like totally. Even though if you're looking at, you know, bigger time frames such as the monthly, this looks like incredibly climactic. This is like screaming like short me under 400, and it really wants to get back into the 300 before it reshuffles. But these are just some watches that I have like for today, for Tuesday and for Wednesday. And of course, there are like a plethora of other stocks that are, that are due to report, especially financials. And I have been looking at financials last week. Definitely, they held really well. The monthly chart in financials and XLF, and this is ETF, still holding on strong. We have pretty much 3 months here. Well, 2 months and a half, but they have been holding really well. We also have a pretty interesting weekly here that took the price into the highs. It sold off a little bit. So this is another decision point. And of course, we have the declining 50 SMA, and we have the 200 SMA. A little bit of a crossover here that suggests bearish, but I think that this has already happened. So when this crossover happened right here, gosh, I'm just having one of the moments. I forget the name of this cross. Death cross. So we have the death cross here, and it came, and then the price rebalanced quite well off the 20 SMA, and then it got a little bit higher. But I think, you know, the more we consolidate here, the more we need to dissolve this base from 2570 all the way to 26 and change 2630. We really need to take out these moving averages in order to start punching in a little bit higher. But today, a little bit weaker. Like if you're looking at the daily, a little bit weaker price action, not significant to say, hey, I'm going to take a decision and start shorting it. So every single stock that I have scanned through this weekend, almost every single stock has been, you know, kind of like in a limbo, you know, like higher, lower, like not really determined. They didn't really have a pretty good determined directional bias. No. They were strong, but they were not giving, you know, really great entry opportunities for traders.
What about
Jim? Yeah. I'm just letting you know Neil is here when you.
Oh, okay. Hey, Neil.
Hey, Neil.
Hey, everyone.
How are you? Neil, introduce yourself for the uninformed and let them know a little bit about your company real quick.
All right. My name's Neil Batho. I run a service called Trader Review, stocks and options. I used to be a broker, just like Anka, and we tell you all their secrets so that we can beat them. That's about it. That's the short one. So,
all right, Neil, we had a question that we always start out with. We opened today at 34.93 on the S&P. Where do you think it's going to be by Friday?
I think it will be down.
Yeah, and what's your confidence level?
You know, I'm not going to be really probably doing much trading this week, but we will probably trade some things that are not correlated to the market.
Maybe 51% then.
Down, you know, I think it could be down big by the end on Friday. Okay. Or we could just meander along. So I'm going to go like 65%.
Gotcha. And
I was like 60% as well, Neil.
Okay. Oh, were you really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
we got a bunch of bears.
You were down 660, huh?
Yeah. Well, I think I think probably I'm 60%, you know, I'm not really sure what the market is going to do with all the narrative and the stimulus and everything that's going to happen. But I think that, and typically, you know, we haven't even talked about it, Jim, you know, typically before election, the market sells off a little bit and then it ranges and for the election. Mm. So, but this year is nothing, you know, that, there's nothing that is respected this year with the volatility and with the narrative, stimulus, yada, yada, yada.
I'm doing as election research as I'm doing stock research right now.
Totally.
Hey, Anka, before we get into Neil's ideas on things, I wanted to ask you about the airlines, particularly JetBlue and Southwest, LUV and JBLU.
Oh my God. Yes. LUV.
Because they are domestic. Yeah, they're domestic and they'd be the ones that would come back fastest if we got a green light on anything.
I had LUV on my list and I had it, So last night we released, I think, about 17 new swing trades into our program. But, and I had LUV, I didn't have the parameters for LUV, because it has such a tight, you know, kind of space here into the $41.30 from this declining 50 SMA. And I was a little bit concerned about this, but I watched it and I said, okay, so this stock on my list forever and I didn't hit the button once and I didn't trade airlines once during this pandemic. But definitely clear signal came at 39.25 and then the price kept on grinding higher. And then, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, oh yeah, triggered had a bottoming tail. Yeah, looks higher. And then here I'm like, oh, it triggered again higher. So it's kind of inching higher, yeah. Higher. I'm a little bit bullish on it. I'm not overly bullish. I don't and you know, with my style of trading, I typically try to stay away from airlines, from healthcare. You know, I have, you know, shorter term swings in these names because I really don't like the fact that there can be like massive volatility there. If there's something going on, these are going to be the first ones that are going to be affected. And I hate stopping out of trades. But right. Anyways, the thing is that if it stays above $40.60 and is easily grinding above this high right here, I definitely can see it higher. And in fact, the one chart that I really like in it is the monthly chart, because the monthly chart looks incredibly bullish right here. Mm-hmm. I know we still have about 2 weeks to go, two full weeks to go into the end of the month, but I'm looking at this really nice tradable void to about $40.30, $40.50 for a little squeeze here into this area. So I absolutely like the LUV for the long side. It's just that I cannot really pin a really good entry opportunity and a really good risk, because the risk to me is still 35, 70-ish. Level into this 20 SMA, and I cannot do anything about that. So I'm just gonna let it go for now. Yeah. But I'm still keeping it on my watch list.
Yeah, and I think the domestics are gonna be the first ones, JetBlue and LUV, because the internationals got a while to go.
Exactly, Jim. Yeah. Good point there. Yeah. And again, JetBlue not really participating yet, so you can see it right here. Yeah, so I'm gauging this
close, but no cigar, right?
Yeah.
How about one last one, one that I think is starting to get some legs here is Avis Budget Rent-A-Car, C-A-R.
Car, yeah.
It looks like it has a 1-2-3 formation, and it looks like it might want to go
beautiful
someplace.
Yeah, and beautiful. Low, higher, higher highs, higher lows right here. It looks good. But again, to me, the trigger was all the way into the 29.25. It could be a breakout pattern here. So yeah, if you're, I know, Jim, your options, 100% options. Yeah. So yeah, for you, it makes total sense to take it for a ride higher into the 36.70 spot and massive resistance here. But if it takes out this resistance, I mean, look to the left-hand side here. Yeah. This is March, okay, of last, this is March of 2018, right? Yeah, March of 2018, still into the same spot. So I think that if we try to digest this 37 spot right here, and it does look like it wants to go to 37. It does look. So it has that really nice void. It doesn't have any kind of chop into it. But if we take out this this area, $40 and even higher. Long-term, I think this is good. Long-term is good.
And these guys sell used cars, and used cars prices were up like 7% in a month. So the environment for them to sell some of their fleet is not bad right now.
Just like Enterprise. Yeah. Just like Enterprise. They sell the cars as well.
All right, Neil. So anyway, let's get a little input from you on, what you're looking at here and what, you know, not specifics because people can contact you to get specific, but you have some general themes that you want to talk about?
Well, I'm really looking at things that don't correlate to the market. special themes, you know, big turnaround plays. 80% of stocks follow the market, right? So a rising tide lifts all ships. I mean, we could go on and on with these types of things, right? But definitely looking at some very interesting plays right now. Cryptocurrencies also, I guess I'll just throw it out there that you can buy, you know, as stock tickers. One of them's up 25% today, Bitcoin Cash. Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm. What is the ticker symbol for that? I'm in GBTC. I haven't traded anything else. Do you have the ticker symbol?
Yeah, it looks like it's taken off GBTC.
Yeah, it's another one of those grayscale trusts, BCHG.
Is it leveraged? You like those leveraged ones, don't you?
I do not believe that it's leveraged, but I don't know for sure. Yeah, I love leverage ETFs because, you know, you time the entry and there you have it, you know.
You get a bigger bang for your buck, both ways, up and down.
Yeah, in trading leverage, a lot of people are scared. They're scared to do futures, scared to do leverage. A reader wrote me recently that said he doesn't want to do leverage ETFs because he read horror stories about them from an analyst out there. But analysts want to make names for themselves, right? And there's a problem.
Well, they did have a horror story with the VIX leverage.
Yeah, if you don't want to trade leverage ETFs, then don't do it. But definitely don't do the VIX because I think something bad happened a year ago and I forget what it was.
Yeah, it was a wipeout deal.
Yeah, 2018 at the end, right? October, November, December. It was a year, two years ago.
And I think I remember the article of the guy who was in charge of it, the company, who said, well, it normally works until it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I said, well, yeah, that's probably true. Okay.
What do you think of these mining shares? I see GDXJ's got a little bit of a bid today. A silver SILJ's got a little bit of a bid. Do you think that they're going to get back on their horse, or are they about ready to give it up and take another swoon?
No, I don't like it. I mean, I'm looking here. The high was at the 1st of August, which is Swiss National Day, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I mean, you can use complicated relative strength, you know, indicators and things like that, or you can just be a tape reader. And I'm a bit of a tape reader where I just look at the chart and I say this relative strength continues to go down compared to the market. Why would I buy it? You want to buy it with a strength, you know. You'll lose all your money trading if you're constantly bottom fishing. You know, it's a thing to do from time to time, but not to make a living off. So no, I'm not at all excited about it. I mean, the train left the station. We traded these huge. I mean, how long ago was it now? 3, 4, 5 months ago. But no, it's not on my list.
Anything, I agree with Neil 100%.
Yeah, do you guys see anything happening in energy? ConocoPhillips.
I don't even know why I'm on the show. You just run the show. I'm kidding.
Do you guys see anything in energy? ConocoPhillips just bought out a company creating the largest shale corporation in the world or something like that. And a $9.7 billion deal. Pretty gutsy in this environment.
Conoco looks almost like a great short.
Right? Well, yeah. I was going to say they just spent
$9.7 billion, so they better come up with the money. But it was all stock. It was a stock deal. deal. The other company just got stopped.
Wow, just short it right now while we're on the show. Great.
I mean, I actually have COP on my, I had it on my radar. There was a block trade this morning. Let me just look at it. There was a block trade in COP. Let me see. And there was some dark pool activity into it. Let me just take a quick peek here.
Do you have Schwab?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, and because Schwab gives a free dark pool.
Yeah, they do. They do. And I looked at it. Hold on. Let me see if I, because I wrote it down. I have it on a post-it, but let me see where it is. I don't know where I put it.
And on the Williams indicator on the chart, it looks like the lows are progressively becoming higher. So if this thing were to take out 35, 37, and now that Williams indicator turned up, would that be any kind of a positive?
So I found it. The dark pool was at 34.99 and 34.75. Okay, so it was around here somewhere. In my opinion, I think that, I mean, I'm telling you, like, if it goes under 32.70, I looked at it for a short.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing underneath it.
No, there's nothing underneath. Yeah, there's nothing underneath.
And energy in general has been a rough racket, but, you know, every time I go on the freeway, I see everybody using gasoline, so I have to think that the product is not going out of business anytime soon.
Guys, I got to tell you about my biggest mistake of the whole year. I'm just going to throw it out there because, you know, why not? Arch Coal. You remember that? Well, they went bankrupt.
No, what's the ticker symbol?
I don't know. You just have to type in Arch Coal. But Arch Coal was something I traded huge in the early 2000s. Well, now it's Arch Resources, ARCH. This was something we traded over and over again, did fantastically well around the mid-2000s when coal was hot. Mm-hmm. And this was like the biggest Trump trade I'd ever seen. And I didn't have the guts to get in it because it was just kind of barely meandering up and wasn't so strong. And I missed a 50% gain on coal. And now it's dropped off tremendously. And I think it's just another one of those election plays. And now you look at oil and the oil companies. I mean, what's going
to
happen?
There was a big rate. Arch went from 20 to 50. That's a pretty good run, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary.
So I was right back in the soup here a little bit, 36, though. Huh?
I was looking at it like around just from the middle of August until now, 50% in 2 months. But I think energy is way too sketchy with the election.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the U.S. is finally energy independent. And I mean, it's just, they're very, very difficult to trade energy right now. I just wouldn't do it. Just avoid, just stick with what's hot, I think.
Like Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM?
Well, even Zoom. I mean, we're on a Zoom call. It just hit another high today.
Isn't it crazy?
You know, market cap's 150 billion. Could it go to three? Like in something like this, I'll use a market cap price objective. Not a stock price objective, right? So I think 150 billion, God, can it go to 300 billion? And I think to myself, well, 300 billion, let's see. Microsoft, Apple's 2 billion, can Zoom go to 300 billion? I think, well, maybe if people are crazy enough, it could, you know. Could it go to a trillion? No way, right? So we're at 150 billion. It's definitely not going to go to a trillion. So you got to choose somewhere in there.
Yeah, that indicator on the Williams is a little on the high side, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can stay here for a long time if they're buyers for Zoom. But I just wanted to add something here. So you know what else goes higher into election every 4 years? Cannabis stocks. And I have a pool of stocks. Let me see if I could share this screen right here. Okay.
Isn't there an ETF MJ that covers all of them?
Yeah, there is. But I have my own little pool of of stocks right here. Take a look today at TLRY. These are always, really good performers into election, these cannabis stocks. I have been, you know, having them on my watch since, I don't know, probably like, I don't know, when they became like super popular. I think it was like 2000, I forget what it was. Forget the year. Yeah, 2005. Yeah,
they were going good for a while.
Yeah. So take a look at TLRY.
30%. Sorry.
Well, that Tilray looks very much like it's trying to break out here, huh?
Exactly. So this is, these are daily charts. Take a look at TLRY here, 14% today. ACB as well. It's just getting some traction off of the lows here. They're always moving. These stocks are always moving into election. They're always moving into election. And I could tell you this because I used to trade. So that's why I'm forgetting the year. There were of four or five stocks that were very popular. There were penny stocks back then. There are penny stocks right now. So I took some of these. It was PHOT, CBIS, EAPH, and there were two more that I forget now. So basically, they quadrupled, more than quadrupled, in a very short period of time going into election. So I know I traded them, and for the last lots, I kept on. So I got to get a little greedy. So I got to tell you here, you know, the true story. So I made a lot of money on those stocks. However, you know, I still left a little bit of lot, and I'm like, okay, so things are all only going to get better for cannabis, and this is going to, things are going to improve. Guess what? So I left my, that last lot right there. They came back and being into like 30 cents or something. Like 30 cents or something. And guess what? Now those stocks, I still hold those stocks, by the way. They're like trading in 2 cents, 3 cents. They're not moving. So these are very risky. So from my personal experience, if you trade them, just trade them. Don't invest in them, because they're not good performers. And then you have to wait like a full cycle to, you know, like a full 4 years before they start moving again. But right. Definitely, you know, yeah, the landscape has changed dramatically since I started to trade these cannabis stocks. And I compiled my own little list here. And you can see that, you know, they have pretty good volume. They have decent volume. They have, you know, really nice moves, by the way. You know, like, look at these stocks right here. And really pretty good patterns right now. They're setting up for the clear. So another one here.
That's a very nice sector to keep an eye on right now, because it definitely looks like it's trying to make a turn.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's only into election, I'm telling you. So I have been watching this sector, and I know David has planned, you know, a really super duper event at the end of the month, Halloween. And so we're going to talk a lot about these cannabis stocks.
And Canopy Growth has a relationship with Constellation Brands, don't they?
Of course, STZ. Here it is. Yeah.
And so that would be a nice backdrop to a company like that, because mm-hmm. obviously their distribution network and all this kind of stuff. And
yep.
They obviously did some due diligence before they bought 38% of the company, right?
Right. So. Yeah, but I'm seeing like they have started to to rev up a little bit here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they definitely do. Looks like basically they look like a go, if, as long as they don't take out the recent lows.
Yep, exactly. So
you got a reasonable place to put yep. You got a reasonable place to put a stop, and you got some pretty good upside yeah. potential, because they're coming out of a low area.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting watch.
Neil, anything else you're seeing as far as, you know, we're going into an election here in 2 weeks or whatever, and then you got the end of the year coming up. I mean, are you looking for something big to occur in something that you'd like to share?
You want my election and analysis sort of?
Do you see anything large happening, like the S&P making a significant move up or down, or a certain sector that might move up or down dramatically, either before by the election in a few weeks, or by the end of the year in a month and a half or two?
Well, I mean, on election night, there isn't going to be a result. I know that, because 65% of Republicans will vote on election day and 35% by mail, and Democrats, it's the opposite. 65% of Democrats voting by mail, 35% voting on election day. So what you're going to have to do is sort of get a feeling for the next few days after the election, or a week, or see the stuff coming in and see if there's any hanging chads like 20 years ago. And if it moves towards Biden, it's bullish maybe for the NASDAQ a bit temporarily, because he's going to let them get away with whatever they want.
Right.
That simple. A Trump trade would be coal, but that move has already been made. So, you know, when you're trading, you can't think too logically, because you have to remember, buy the rumor, sell the news, right? So you don't wait until the actual, you know, result, and you say, oh, great, now I have all the facts and can make a great decision, because it's going to be too late. So it just always remember, buy the rumor, sell the news. And that's how the market moves. You know, it's always looking 6 months in advance with the moving target. So, I'm my overall theme of what I'm thinking is to really start shorting stocks right now, basically today, but I'm looking for a bigger technical sort of a little bit more confidence in the technicals to short. And then if Biden is elected president, short stocks immediately, because that is exactly what happened when Obama got elected and $1 trillion.
Is that what happened when Obama got elected in 08?
I believe both times, right when he was elected, the market really sold off tremendously.
Well, when Trump got elected, it also sold off huge for a very short period of time. It went down to 2,000 on the S&P that night or something like that, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is not like my partisan analysis. This is my analysis, right?
Just trying to say maybe a election of any type causes people to hit the exits initially.
I'd have to go back to my Stock Trader's Almanac, which is the only book I have on my desk that has the best analysis of all these types of things, a presidential analysis. If Biden is president, stocks are going to sell off. Maybe that's my analysis. But then typically when something like that happens, people say, wait a sec, maybe he's not going to be as radical as he says. So then stocks rally, right? And then usually in history, it almost doesn't matter who's president. Normally stocks do best in history when there's a Democrat in the White House and Republicans control, the Senate or the Congress, because then nothing happens, because they just say, we're not going to work with you. And then nothing happens. And when nothing happens, that's all the shit stops, right? So it can be really bad when one party has control of everything. That's probably bad for the market, you know? So it's a very situation. I mean, you're not gonna make a living on presidential every 4 years trying to figure this out. But I will tell you one story, and this is what I would recommend to people. If you're really an election watcher, I missed out again on one of the greatest opportunities ever was in the Brexit vote. And I was watching the Brexit vote and I was watching the pound, and the votes started coming in. But what I forgot was that the votes were coming in from London first, not the more rural areas. And the people in London were voting no for Brexit. You know, I was very pro-Brexit. I don't like these big, types of organizations where there would be people who would run for election in Europe and the UK and they would lose. And then they would go to Brussels and get a job and make policy, right? So I don't like that sort of stuff. So I was very pro-Brexit. So what was happening is Brexit was looking like it was not going to pass. And this is 9 hours ahead. And then I ended up going to bed. Turns out the votes started coming in from the rural areas. And then the pound starts dropping and dropping and dropping so consistently and so beautifully on the 5 minute chart, 15 minute chart. I looked at it the next day and I thought, oh my God, if I stayed up, I would have doubled my entire account with almost no risk, because the chart was so beautifully dropping in one direction. So if you're an election watcher, just watch and keep the futures on all the time and see the way things are moving. And once these ballots start getting counted, it's going to come down to a few counties in a few states. And then you're going to know. You're going to know a few days before the real result. And you'll see the futures market move in anticipation of what's coming in and out of these counties. And you can make a killing if you watch it. So that's my analysis.
Well, it looks like that pot sector is going to do good, because the people that are long the S&P and the NASDAQ are going to start smoking it if it keeps deteriorating like this.
And if the guy you like loses, you're going to smoke more. So.
All right. But all right, so materials, industrials, those kind of things. Anka, is there anything like Boeing got anything going here? I understand somebody's trying to fly the plane here pretty soon, the 737.
Yeah, well, definitely, I have it on my watch. I already, I already have some set parameters into it, and it was a combination. LUV, it was the strongest airliner that it came off my scanner, and it was Boeing that draw me to the chart here. And let me just put it, here we go, on the weekly. So to me, it's very appealing. I think that, and this is a play that I'm looking forward to if it should trigger. So I like the 173.45 level. So if we trade over this high here, I could see a possible continuation higher. So this is pretty definitive for me. The risk is going to be 158.70. And I'm looking for 180. 180 is going to it's gonna make it or break it. If the price is going to get rejected into the 180, we're going to see it back into that sloppy range. But if it's going to take out 180, it's going to go to the next stage, which is into the 190. So it's going to move like in $10 increments here. And then 200, and then back into this prior high. We also have the 50 SMA right here. So this is what I'm watching right now. So yeah, I think that if everything's going to be okay with that max jet, then, you know, the stock may continue to go higher.
And what about a couple of areas like people are starting to get kind of bullish on? One was like Starbucks, and the other is some of these restaurants like El Pollo Loco or Yum or something like that. McDonald's.
I have been, you know, trading McDonald's a lot this year. McDonald's is incredibly strong, continuing higher. Even the daily charts are incredibly still holding up very strong. Look at the power trend here off of the 10 EMA. Quick pullbacks into the 20, but then pretty much riding the power trend into the 10 EMA. So McDonald's looking very good. Also, Darden Restaurants, DRI, they're also very strong. I looked at the weekly charts here into the 200 SMA. If this area is going to hold any rotation into this spot, it's going to take it higher. Yum as well. You know, Yum is very strong. It's in a daily sell, but still longer term is still bullish. Cake, this is a stock that is incredibly strong. And look at the price action today, okay? Just today. This is the daily chart today. Look at this massive breakout in Cake. Also, Wendy. Wendy is also really strong. And again, they all have been trading off of this 10 EMA. So restaurants are strong. Restaurants continue to be strong. You know, despite everything that's going on right now, restaurants continue to be strong. And you know what is strong? Apparel, sport apparel, like Nike. Yeah, Nike, very strong. It seems that everybody's, you know, wearing their, you know, yoga pants or shorts or whatever it is. Everybody's wearing sport attire. So definitely very strong Nike. I mean, look at Nike. Nike, just tremendous move to the upside. And I remember that I was like back here and I'm like, man, I don't have an entry. You know, I just kept on missing the trades because they were like shallow range and then bam, higher. And I remember I got some here and I sold it. I think it was not a big, you know, a trade, but it was a really nice swing trade. And then I didn't trade this, but anyway, so it's on my radar again. Lululemon as well. Incredible. I mean, I cannot believe that this is a $340 stock, you know, and Nike, $130 stock. I mean, this is incredible. This is, again, very strong weekly rotation a little bit. I'm waiting to see if it taps into this 10 EMA or minor score here into the 325. This is going to be a buying opportunity again soon. These are not bad to watch, like post-election. These are some quiet stocks that, you know, are
retail.
What
about Capri Holdings, CPRI? You get Michael Kors and a bunch of other fancy accessories in there, don't you?
CTRI?
Yeah, CPRI. It's Capri Holdings. I understand they have you know, some of the name brands or whatever. CPRI.
Oh, CPRI. Okay. I thought you said CT. Okay, here it is. Yeah, this is very interesting and really good volume. Mm-hmm. I think that it's on the verge of breakout right here into the $22.
Yeah, I think their holdings are very interesting. I just wanted to get an idea. I know Michael Kors, I think, is part of this company.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Jimmy Choo is, but, you know, they got quite a number of things going on there. But they're big on accessories and fashion. And you know, people are not going on vacations and they're not going out to restaurants as much. So they have capital and they're obviously buying, you know, clothes and accessories and stuff. So that's what's been...
Limited brands as well. Look at limited brands. I mean, it had a really good pop on the day. I mean, look at the weekly, really good pop on the day, now selling off. But look at this breakout here. So it broke out $33.78 or so today, 35, and then coming back in a little bit here. It's into a tough spot onto the monthly chart because it's right into this congestion here, into this crossover that's just about to happen. Plus, we have minor resistance from this fire pivot low.
You know, Bed Bath & Beyond went nuts, but was it short covering? Because the short interest is 53%. It used to be 61%, but you can't fight the tape, and the tape, you know, the tape went up.
Yeah, really strong. Really strong.
According to your work, right around 10 was a lovely place to get a little long in there, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was. I didn't trade it.
Yeah, you
it was. Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
You got to oil that scanner up. up. That scanner should have picked that up, you know?
Yeah, it didn't pick it up. It didn't pick it up, I'm telling you. So this was the breakout spot. Really, really nice trade.
Hey, Jim, you follow commodities,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, Neil.
Have you seen cotton?
I didn't look at cotton because I've been focused on coffee, sugar, and sugar and soybeans. And they have really been very good this year. But you're saying the cotton market is starting to make a turn, eh?
Looks nice.
Yeah, I mean, all of the commodities. There you go. Yeah, from 55 to 60 to 65 to 70. It's a nice stair step, you know?
Yeah, maybe this was the final, you know, they always say when you trade, you have to sell to a greater fool. So,
it might coincide with the retail fashion buy that there's going to be big demand for clothing, et cetera. And it might fit into that because this stuff back in 2011 used to be 220. It used to be 100 back in 18. So if it did get going, there's real estate above that could work. So it's an interesting thing. I think the moving averages are all turned up too. Trading at 71 and moving averages are coming in at 65 and 62. So they've crossed to the upside. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Well, we're coming up to the top of the hour and we got a cotton tip here today and we got the marijuana stocks tip today. I think those are two decent things to take away. But so everyone can get a hold of you, Neil, a little background on, you know, how we can get a hold of you and find out more about what you're offering.
Sure. Yeah. Just go to my website, traderreview.net. I send out a great free newsletter and there's always a link. You can sign up and get all my picks of what I think are going to move right now. And I specialize in entry points and also keeping people out of danger.
Sounds good to me. And Anka, you know, you've got a lot of data and a lot of ways to trade on a short-term and swing trade basis, which I think is very valuable for people. How can they get a hold of you and get more details?
Of course. We day trade futures every day in the trading room. We have a phenomenal track record with a great performance, verified performance. If anyone is interested in futures trading, it's tradeoutloud.com/live trading room. And we also provide the stock swing trader service, which is geared towards obviously into stocks and ETFs and very active program as well. And if you guys are interested, all the details are on the Trade Out Loud website. But I think that I want to highlight now that there is a huge event that David has put together, and the event is going to be this Thursday. It's October 22nd, and it is an event that is geared towards news trading and towards volatility trading and how to trade volatility, how to deal with volatility, how to deal with the news and how to trade it, whether to trade it or not. So David has put together a great lineup. It starts at 11 a.m. Eastern. And I think, David, you have five presenters already for the event.
We have eight total.
Eight presenters. So far. Okay, I'm sorry.
Have eight at least. I'm trying to add one or two more. So we might actually start at 10 a.m., but you can always go to timingresearch.com/live to see the up-to-date schedule for upcoming events and get access to the upcoming events. So, like Anka said, that's this Thursday. It's October 22nd. So focus on VIX and news event trading. So Anka will be doing a presentation as well as Jim. And also I have Eric Gephardt, John Nairati, Pro Trader Mike, Samantha LeDuc, Kyle Kinney, and Carly Gardner scheduled. So yeah, so we'll have at least eight great presentations for that one. And I'm trying to add at least one more for the lineup. So
yeah, and Option Professor will be covering hedging tactics. You know, the S&P target for most people this year was 3,500, 3,600. I didn't hear too many more higher than that. We've already hit those levels. So using your common sense, is it time to sell fat calls on the NASDAQ and fat calls on the S&P and use those premiums to buy puts to hedge your position going into the election? Might make a lot of sense. Certainly some of these premiums like on Netflix, that are tremendously large, certainly are worth a look. So I'm going to be covering how to take advantage of that volatility we just talked about, the VIX, and take advantage of the premiums and try to protect the portfolios going into an election where anybody could say it could break either way. But since, again, a lot of the targets were 3,600, 3,500, and we've already hit those levels, you'd have to wonder how much upside's left. So we'll cover that on Thursday.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity in the VIX pops possibly coming up here.
All right. It was a great show today. So be sure to check out Neil and Anka's sites and optionprofessor.com. And be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube, as well as your favorite podcast directory or app, so you can get instant updates on new shows and events. And so the regular weekly shows are on there. And then also for these big events that we do every few weeks, all of the presentations are recorded and posted there as well. So just want to thank my guests again for today, Anka Metcalf of TradeOutLoud.com, Neil Batho of TraderReview.net, and the Option Professor of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.
Thank you so much, David, for putting this event together. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks, Anka. Thanks.